Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Christian Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Steph Thurling. I'm the Executive Director of Christian Parenting, a mom of three, and I am so glad that you're here. This is a place where you can bring your real self, no matter what that looks like today, and be given the space, resources, and encouragement you need to set aside perfection and grow into the perfectly imperfect parent God made you to be.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am really excited for you guys to get to know Courtney DeFeo today. Courtney is our new host of Pardon the Mess, and she is absolutely amazing. I have really loved getting to know her over the past few months, and I know that you're going to, too. She's a mom of two girls. She's an author, a speaker, and just an all-around encourager. And today, we talk a lot about family values in our homes, specifically the value of forgiveness. And we also touch on the challenge of raising our oldest kids because we have no idea what we're doing, the difference between conviction and shame, and how you have to decide what is helpful in your parenting versus what is harmful and making you feel shame. I just love how she encourages us to quit comparing ourselves to other moms. God made us all unique to parent our own unique kids, and we can rest in that. Make sure you listen until the very end because I ask her some rapid-fire questions, and I know you will just love what she has to say. Enjoy. Courtney, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, well, greetings, Steph. The front of your hair looks really good.
So Courtney and I were laughing before we recorded because she told me, she's like, I curled the front of my hair, but not the back. And I started laughing because I did the same today. So the front same of with our hair looks good.
Same with the bottom half of our wardrobe. We're both in PJs or sweatpants.
Both in PJs, but we look really good for a camera. So
just keeping it right here.
Yeah, we're just going to be real. We're going to start out just being super honest about where we're at. Yeah.
It's a great place to start for us.
I think so. Okay. I'm just going to jump right in because I want people to get to know you. I'm really excited to have you on. I have just adored getting to know you. So I want everyone to get to know you too. Can you tell us who you are? Tell us about your family. And then you have that one word.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, my name is Courtney DeFeo and I am the host of Pardon the Mess, which is just so crazy. And it's been so fun. It's been May of 2023 is when we started talking about it in April, but May is when it all started. I really enjoy getting to know you and it, but I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and we've been here about 7 years, 8 years. I've lost count. We've got two girls. They are Ella and Larson. Ella's a junior. And so we're having all the talks about colleges. Larson is a freshman and I enjoy them. Like I love them and I really, really like them. My friend Kay Wima said that one time and it was such a sticking point for me because you always love your kids, but I really like them. Do we cry? Do we butt heads? Do we have some heated moments? For sure, but I really, really like them. Ron is my husband, and we've been married 20 years. We met at my first job out of Auburn, and that's really us. He does communications and in an organization, a corporation, and we just are a family unit that is normal as you guys. And that's what we do.
And what's your word that would describe your family?
Is between fun and witty, but we are highly entertained by each other. Like we all think we're the funniest person, except Larson. Larson's had a couple like funny moments where like a turkey was dropping into like a fryer at Thanksgiving. And she did that sound. If you've ever watched Christmas Vacation, you know, when they're like waiting for the lights and they're like, and we like cried and Larson looked at us like, I was funny. But Ron is probably the funniest. And he's really dry, has a really dry wit with a close second, Ella. And so Ella comes in strong with the dry wit. And so we entertain each other. I don't know if other people think we're funny, but we do. And it makes for an entertaining environment for sure.
I love that. That's probably why you enjoy each other so much is you have fun together.
That's right.
Because that's so important. I think sometimes we forget to have fun with our kids.
I know. And honestly, like, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but then my first book, like almost 10 years ago, had the word giggle in it. And I just forgot to have fun. Like, there was a long span where I just, I don't know if it was enemy or if it was life, but I was pretty cranky. Like, we were not having fun anymore. And so this year, kind of the fun mom and the joyful and jovial Courtney's come back. And my kids are like, where have you been? Oh my gosh, like, you're back. And so it's thrilling to see that that's still in there and it's still in me. And we can still do that with teenagers in the home. But thanks.
Do you feel like it's been easier to bring out your fun side as your kids have gotten older?
Yes and no. Because so I had a friend, so when they were like toddlers, and I loved all that stuff. Like I loved, it was hard, but I loved the playing. I love imagination. Like I can't tutor them in one subject. Like they would fail all of school and be bankrupt if it was, and they're starving, but there is a lane that I really love and it's playing. And so, but I have other mom friends that are like, can I drop my kid off? Because like, I don't want to play. Like I literally can't play Barbies. Can they come over? And I'm like, hey, great. Like we should have a whole compound because I haven't cooked dinner. And so I'll drop them off at your house. But, and then I think, yeah, they're less playful and they're less around really in the teen years. And so I think you got to be creative. I think we've had to be creative of what fun looks like for us because they want to be with their friends. They want to be going to Starbucks every day. Like they want to do other. And so we've had to really reinvent what that looks like, what fun looks like to us. And we do all kinds of things together, concerts and, you know, shopping. We love a good thrift store, things like that.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're kind of touching on this now, but I'll ask you anyway, just in case there's something else you want to add. But what is one thing that you want every parent to know?
Gosh, that is such a hard, I'm going to give two answers again. One would be that, and they're kind of connected, but the thought is that you were the parent that is supposed to be the parent of this child. Mm-hmm. That's obvious. You birthed them or you adopted them or God connected you in some way. Maybe you're the step parent, but he did not mess this up. And I think in the world of social media and even the carpool line, we can compare. And I've heard statements like that from other moms, like, my child came home and said, you're the most fun parent. I'm like, but again, was she starving? Like there's other things I don't do well, but on the outside, you can look side to side. And I've done it too. I've looked at other moms that are more demeanor and calm and very, you know, organized and less messy. And I'm like, you are the best mom I've ever seen. And they're like, nah, you haven't been in my house. So I think we have got to stop comparing and know that, do we all get it right? We sure don't. Do we need a village? We sure do. But you are supposed to be that kid's parent. And maybe, like, and I know you've had this with your own kids, but it depends on birth order. It depends on personalities. You may be butting heads with a particular kid more than another. And that doesn't mean that you're a wrong match. It just means that you have to learn your kid. You have to learn yourself. And at the end of the day, they will look back. They haven't yet, but they will look back and say, I'm so glad you were my mom. But they're just not old enough or mature enough to stop and say, like, you know what? Your intentional love of me is just real precious. Like, they don't do it. I didn't do it until I was in college. And then yeah. I bawled when my mom drove off. But so I guess that would be my one thing is just sit in that freedom and sit in that peace that you were designed to be the mom of your kids.
That's good. I feel like when I became a mom, I had this epiphany one day. I was staring at Calvin, my oldest, and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this child so much. Mm. And like, I know how much I love my mom. Yeah. I'm like, is he going to love me that much? And does my mom actually love me as much as I love him? And yeah. All of a sudden it was like, wow, like it just came into perspective. And I didn't.
Right.
And I love my mom. We're like the closest of friends, but you don't think about it till you're so much older.
For sure. And I think that's the same with faith. And I don't mean to over spiritualize everything, but that is there was multiple moments where you're like, the love God has for all of his children comes into a whole new meaning. It's not to say if you don't have kids, you can't grasp that, but it really opens the door to like, wow, like, because it is hard love. There's times when Calvin's mm-hmm. probably not very nice to you and you're like, will we ever love each other? But that's kids. But he does love you mm-hmm. like that, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, tell us a little bit more about your background because you started Part of the Mess in the spring. And before that, you've written books, you've been a stay-at-home mom. Before that, you were a marketing professional. So tell us a little bit about your background. Like, how did you get to join us at Christian Parenting?
Have you ever read the book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie? It's like this, yes. This book, a children's book, where it's like he, you know, he just gets led to different rooms. And that is me. Like, I've had 9 lives I started out in communications, met Ron at a PR firm. About 3 years later, went to work at Chick-fil-A headquarters in Atlanta. It was the best job ever, like you can imagine. Like, just the people, what I was getting to do. I got to work on the Cal campaign, loved it. But about 6 years in, I realized that I was going to stay at home. You know, we were newlyweds, pregnant with Ella, and I knew I was supposed to stay home. And then that did not work quite like I thought. And I know that other moms feel that. It's like, we're all working. We don't need to get in that debate. But I thought the majority of my focus would be at home with them. But there was this, like, engine in me that couldn't turn off. Like, I've got to use this brain to do something other than their birthday parties. Not that it's not important, not that it's the most important job in the world, but is there something else I could be doing to kind of live out of my gifts? And so that's been a journey, and it's been very seasonal. And so I don't have a magic pill for anyone today. I would just say, like, sometimes, and I really would say I'm a communicator at heart. Sometimes there's writers that speak or speakers that write. I'm a communicator. I love thinking about, like at Chick-fil-A, I love thinking about what would be on the bags and what would be on the billboards and promotions we would do in the store that would help people fall in love with Chick-fil-A as a brand. So then I just transferred that to what can I do to help families fall in love with Jesus, because I was really enjoying it. And I really thought it's not as harsh and rude and legalistic as we might think. Like, you can have fun teaching your kids about faith. And so that's where the journey he's taken me on. Sometimes that looks like a blog. Sometimes it looks like products, a couple books, one podcast before. And I just keep listening to him and his nudges. And it's, I've had a lot of jobs, but here I am. I'm a podcast host. And I do thank you, Steph, because it was an interview process. And I think I've landed in probably the sweetest spot that I've been in a long, long time. And I love my job. I love talking to the people. I love you guys at Christian Parenting. And it's been a sweet evolution. And I hope it's longer than one season. I think it will be, but we'll see.
I hope so too. We love having you at Christian Parenting. It has been just a gift to have you here. It's been really fun to get to know you. I love your heart. I think people probably already know that you're really fun, but I will say, I would like to add that one of my favorite things about you is as soon as you started at Pardon the Mess, you were like, we need to connect regularly and be praying for each other. And you are just consistent to check in, see what you can be praying for me. You share your prayer requests with me, and then you follow up on them. And I just think that speaks loads about who you are as a person and your heart. And so I just really appreciate your faithfulness.
Thank you.
And what you bring to the
Christian. Well, I think when you do what we do, you can start seeing people. And I'm sure pastors feel this way too. You look at like a mass of people. And the truth is it's a group and a gathering of a bunch of individual parents that are all struggling. And so, and maybe we'll get into this, but I took like a 3-year hiatus for some health reasons, but also just felt like God was kind of not benching me, but just telling me to just pull back. So instead of doing thousands of people online, I did, and I'm still doing it, a small group leader with 10th grade girls every Wednesday. And those kind of moments make you realize like one girl matters. One mom matters, and you, so like, I care about you as a mom. I wish I could be friends with all the people that listen to our podcast, but I really do care about these individual kids, and that's what it's made up of, not this like mass generic statement. It's like, what is Calvin going through, and how can I pray for that? And so you've done the same for my kids. We were just chatting about cheer before we got on and the dilemmas of cheer. So thank you.
Yeah, kids and all the activities and all the things that we want to fix as moms.
It's no joke. No jokes.
It's all hard. I think that as I've gotten to know you, one of the things we both get excited about is passing on like faith and faith habits to our kids, and in a way that's fun and not like a to-do list or forced or something that they're going to grow up and be like, why did we do that? So how, like, what has that looked like in your home to kind of pass on faith to Larson and Ella?
Yeah, I mean, I should start with, and everyone says it, not everyone, but I'm like, I was raised in a Christian home. But it is important to know that this wasn't new information for me. I had parents that were, that was the center of our family, and that was the center of their lives, and it was no secret. And so I had that model growing up. I really relate to my mom because we are very, very similar in how much we care, and she's very much an action-based. Like, she doesn't just talk about it or pray about it. Like, you can see her values and what she prioritizes through what she does. Couple examples. Like, everybody that came into our house, like, was like, you belong. That was one of, she wouldn't have said it like that, but you knew in her presence that you were invited to our home. You weren't annoying her. Like, she just made our friends a priority. And so one of the little ways she did that was people would mention what their favorite cereal was. And so she would always have that favorite cereal. And so we had, no joke, like 22 boxes of cereal. And it was, they were all stale. It was like Trix, you know, and Fruit Loops and whatever. But it was this little symbol to my friends that they mattered. But she didn't have to give a sermon. She just had to love them unconditionally. Like God would, it flowed out of her onto them. Another way that she did it was she had nicknames for all the people that came in. She had songs. And so I'll sing one for you. So she would wake up us in high school. And so I can't sing. Get ready. Goosey Lucy was one of my friends. And she would say, good morning, Goosey Lucy. Good morning. And so they remember that. Like, these people still have such a deep love for my mom because of the way that she lived out the gospel. But she never gave them a sermon. So that is kind of the starting point. And she also did it with generosity. I would watch her like pay someone's bill or help the lawn man get a new leaf blower that someone stole. Like, she was constantly stepping into those things that were important to God and important to our family. So I think that's the ball game, is first starting what is matters. Like, what are your values? Is faith a value? Is generosity a value? And we can like them all, but we can't execute them all every day. So when we dedicated our kids in Atlanta, they asked us to make a list of 5. And I still have it somewhere. I'll send it to you before this comes out. But we wrote it on a little piece of paper, and Ron and I talked about what were the top most important ones to us. And generosity was one of them. Integrity was one of them. And so that's part of it, is knowing what you're prioritizing. And then how do you practically move that into the everyday? Because we can talk about it all day, but if they don't have an experience practically living out generosity, practically living out forgiveness, practically living out, I mean, all of those, like, they learn it. And I'm sure there's that quote, what is it? The more is caught than taught. Like, they catch it more than they, like, love a lecture. And so have you experienced that too with your kids? Like, the lectures are like, eye rolls, I'm out.
Sometimes I think the lecture just feels good to me. Like, I just want to get out all my words and just let them know how I feel. And then I'm like, that was for me. That was a waste of time.
But it's so natural to do, because you're like, I think as mom, and maybe dads too, but for me, I have this never-ending list that's scrolling through my head of, oh my gosh, I've got to tell them about safety in a parking lot. Oh my goodness, I need to tell them to brush their teeth. Oh my word, I need to tell them to include the person at the table. Like, I'm constantly thinking and grasping that list as if it's ever possible to check them all off. It's literally not. And so I don't think the motive is bad. We care about our kids.
Right.
We want to love them the best we can. But sometimes the way, and I am number one guilty. Like, one of mine said the other day, so I was trying to encourage you on something. She's like, you're always trying to teach us something. So I think, and they would be on here the first to say, like, she's constantly got a teachable moment. And I think I'm so wise. But they respond better to actions, adventures, experiences, even other people as they've grown. Other people can speak the same thing I'm speaking. They also learn through questions. So you can ask the question and they probably know what you're going to say anyways. Like, they've been around you enough, but it's like, ask the question versus the lecture. Now, preaching to me.
One time, my middle Griffin, I can't even remember what I was lecturing him about, but it was something that I was clearly very excited about. And he just looked at me and he was like, you have too many words right now.
Yeah, that's why I get paid for it, buddy. I'm a podcaster.
Yeah, I'm like, some people like to hear me talk, but he doesn't. But yeah, totally. I feel like the modeling it out is where, because then they can put it into practice.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, okay, was forgiveness one of your top 5?
It's in my book. It was one of the 12 that made it into the book. And it's definitely one that I think I have to model the most because I screw up a lot. So it is a legit mess over here. And I am really quick to speak. I'm really quick. I'm a hothead. So I spend a lot of time perfecting forgiveness. And even I had to go to, speaking of, the cheer coach yesterday and apologize for my tone. And I think it's important for our kids to see that. Like, I actually walked both of them through the situation in appropriate level and said, like, here's, and modeling for them, like, I need to go first. And I think that's something I've been clinging to lately, is you go first. Like, you as the believer, you tell the person her hair looks good. You apologize. Like, you gotta own your part. So yeah, forgiveness is way up there for me. I don't know if it was on the original list, but I get a lot of practice doing that.
If it makes you feel any better, Harriet, my youngest, at one point did tell me that I'm just the type of mom who has to apologize a lot.
Yes. But better than one that never did.
Right.
That, like, I was like, get, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
They can get to the end of their lives and be like, okay, my mom was so perfect. And, you know, because we never pause to say, like, and they would never say that about me, but I know kids and I know moms that they thought that. And then it was like brand new information that their parents didn't have it all together. I'm like, we never had it together. Like, all of us are basically like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have no clue what we're doing. And we're trying, you know, and we're trying. Poor first children. I mean, these first kids, we just need to give them a big gift card and a hug. So a gift card to counseling.
That'll fix it.
Gift card to counseling. Like, I've started an account for you. I'm so sorry. I mean, Ella's love language is gifts. So I feel like, I'm like, you know what? Here's a year's worth of Starbucks and, you know, what else does she love? Target. You know what?
Oh my
All
gosh.
The Targets on me until you're through these issues. All jokes aside, I do think it's important to recognize it and say, I'm really sorry. Like, I handled that the wrong way. And, but it does not give them permission to, like, blame you for everything. It's like, hey, we probably both had a part. This was where I could have done that differently, kind of thing. But I do want to say on forgiveness, when I was writing that chapter, it was like, I really didn't have words to say. I had nothing to offer. And I prayed, like, the other chapters came easily and the other, like, values and virtues. And this one, I was like, Lord, you're going to have to speak through me through this whole thing because I got nothing to say. And the thought that he brought to mind, it was just one day, it was like downloaded and I typed it. But maybe someone will relate. But if you grew up in any certain home, doesn't matter. One of your parents or maybe one of your siblings was very good about saying, I'm sorry, but they had no heart behind it. It was like, I'm sorry. And we all do it. Our kids do it. I'm sorry. And then, but you feel as a tender child, I was very sensitive. Mm-hmm. I felt I was still in trouble for a long time. And so I think one of the things we can do for our kids is say, yes, say the words, but at some point you actually have to forgive the person. Doesn't mean you forget it, but that's a big deal. Like, there's times that I'll apologize to the kids because I know it's right. And then I'm still like acting like a middle schooler holding a grudge like 3 days later. And so I think we got to kind of check ourselves on, what did that look like for Jesus? Did he forgive us and hold on to strings attached? Did he hold a grudge? I don't think so. I don't think that's how he works. Yeah. And I think it's important for us as parents to model that as well. And it sometimes can be hard when you're really irritated with the kid and they did not apologize back. And you're like, well, if you would have said sorry back, then, you know. So think about that with forgiveness. It's way more than the words. I'm sorry.
So you guys have probably heard me talk about IXL before, and that is because I truly love it. IXL is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum or offers a little more support at home that balances your school curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies. It adapts to each child, meeting them exactly where they are. So I have one kid who gets a little bored in math class and he wants more of a challenge. So I've used IXL to give him a little more work at home and really push him in his favorite subject. And then I have another child who's kind of struggled through some of his math units. And so we use IXL to get him a little more practice before those unit tests so that he feels more confident. And it has seriously been such a helpful tool for our family. IXL is easy to use. Everything is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it really simple to find activities for the exact skills that your kids are covering. IXL also offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. So it's really helpful if you're using it to get a little extra support and practice in a particular subject. Like my family, you can make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Christian Parenting Podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL memberships when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Again, you can visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the very best price. I know as a mom, it is so easy to put everybody else's needs ahead of yours. And I know this because I do it too. But when hormonal changes start to take a toll on your body, it is definitely time to start taking care of you. Hormone health is so much more than just a few symptoms. It affects everything from your mood to your energy levels to how you cope with stress. If you're a woman, you know how easily hormones can get out of balance, especially with all the daily stresses of life. And when that happens, it can feel like everything else is off too.
But what if there is a simple habit that you could add to your routine that could make a huge difference? That's where Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth comes in. Happy Mammoth, the company that started Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, especially moms. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. The results are so impressive, you guys. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website, and women cannot stop talking about it on social media and in real life too. I know so many people who use Hormone Harmony and absolutely love it. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CPPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CPPODCAST for 15% off today.
So how do you do that with your girls? Because I don't know if your house is like my house, but we have a lot of like, you need to say sorry. You need to reconcile. It's like sorry with an eye roll. And
right,
like,
right.
You know, like how do you manage that with your girls?
I think it depends on the offense. And I think we need to start. And we've had moments where they're great at this and moments where they're not. And I think I likened it to please and thank you. So when they were little, every time you had to prompt them, say thank you to the person, say please. And then one day they just say it and you're like, oh my gosh. Like, I thought I'm going to be prompting them until they're married, like saying thank you to the waiter. But all of a sudden it's repeated and they get it. And so I think same with them. We have them do it and say, hey, and maybe not right away. Like if it's a bigger issue, give them space to kind of get back in their room and figure it out and say, at some point I need you to go back to your sister and own your part. And I've said that a bunch of times, but it's one of my pastors, I think, said it's like a pizza. You know, it doesn't matter if you're one slice or all the slices or majority of the slices, something in that equation you could take ownership of. And so there's times we haven't done that perfectly as a family, but, you know, in their little, you're saying, hey, say, I'm sorry for a blank, please forgive me or whatever, and take ownership. And so there's been times lately, because they're 14 and 16, where one of them will, I'll hear them go back because it's, they have the Lord in them. They're both following the Lord. So he is now prompting their heart when they can't, they feel unsettled. So I'll listen to them. They have rooms upstairs. I'll listen to one of them go over and say, hey, I'm sorry I didn't get that thing for you. I'm sorry I yelled at you. And I'm like, yes. But they don't always do it. And so as a parent, you're watching for, was it just like, hey, you took a bite of my Snickers? Or it was like, hey, you were really unkind. Like, I try to look for the below the belt, the disrespectful things that are like, that's not going to sit well years from now, the thing that you just said, and I need you to think about that and go back.
Yeah, that's good. I feel like there are times where I have to tell my kids, like when someone will say sorry and then the other one won't say I forgive you, and then the one who apologized is like distraught, like they don't forgive me, and I have to walk through, they're like, they don't have to forgive you right away, like they can take some time to process.
That's right
But that's hard to understand too. But I think you're right, like if it's something bigger, then it takes more time and a little more practice, probably a little more like intentionality.
Yeah.
The smaller things, like they took a bite of my food.
Exactly. Do you remember this phrase? I'm sure you used it in your home, but when my kids were really little, we would say, I would just pause and go, try that again. And they would just repeat because they know what they've done. And so if they do something snippy in a car, like all I have to do is give them a look and they're like, okay, will you please hand me? You know, so like they know on the little stuff, and then as they get older, they'll recognize it more. But it's the big stuff that I would caution, like especially within families, like you're gonna come to blows, but at some point that needs to be addressed. And they need to be ready to do the same for the other kid, because guy got news for him. Next week it's them, and they're on the other side of it for an argument. You know, they can watch Ron and I. We just teeter back and forth on forgiveness.
Well, that's good for them to see you guys, like, forgive each other and apologize, too. Because sometimes I think parents try to hide that from their kids. But I think it's good for them to see, like, oh, mom and dad have disagreements. And they take ownership and forgive each other. That's good modeling.
Yeah.
I know that another thing that you have a heart for and I share with you is that you just don't want listeners, a part in the mess, or anyone who follows you to see like your social media or hear you and feel like they should be doing something else, or they're not doing enough, or they're missing something, or they can't like keep up with you and what you're doing. And I just love that about you. I think it's so genuine. And I know you're paying attention to what parents are saying. So like, what are you hearing from parents right now? What are they worrying about? And like, what would your encouragement be that they're not alone in their struggles?
Well, I think the first is to recognize we're also different. Like I am an extra person. I'm extroverted. I like all the podcasts, all the books, you know, I can just overload it and I love ideas. So I'll just be like an Energizer bunny spewing it. And then you compare to my sister who is equally an awesome mom. She is equally loves the Lord, but she likes less. She likes streamlined. Like for example, around the Christmas holidays that we used to, and we still do a thing called Light 'Em Up. I would want to do a random act of kindness every day and was like geeking out. And it so overwhelmed her. She was like, I'll do one little cookie thing for the firemen. And then like, we're done. We're done with kindness for the whole Christmas season. But her approach is not wrong. And so I think it's knowing our personalities and then knowing when you need to turn it off, because there have been seasons that I've been so overwhelmed with content and books and ideas that I thought it just reminded me of all the things that I wasn't doing well. So part of it's maturity. Part of it is going like everything you see on social media is not a to-do list item for you. It's not. Mm-hmm. Every podcast that they hear from me and you, maybe God ordains the ones they listen to. I can't even listen to all the ones in the Christian Parenting Network. So you got to trust that he can guide you to the thing that you need to hear. And if it's making you feel more anxious or discouraged, I would shut it off. And we would both say that about our podcast. Like, shut it off or be ready. I think feeling convicted when you listen or read something is different than feeling condemned. And I hear moms that are feeling shamed and condemned, which is from the enemy, convicted and encouraged and maybe like bringing up new thoughts in your heart. That's awesome. It's like we're helping each other. And so I think my desire is that both of our podcasts would be conversation starters. That is like, hey, here's the issue. I'm just going to dance around it enough that it stirs something in your heart. And if you need to leave there and go pursue that issue further, whether it's sibling rivalry or whether it's parenting without shame, whatever the thing is we bring up, like that's on you to discern with the spirit, like what you need. Is that too much? Like, is that helpful?
No, yeah. I think that's really helpful. I think everyone has to discern what is right for them, just like you said. I think of one of my dearest friends. We were talking once about like TV shows and should we be watching this show? Should we not be watching it? And we had this whole conversation. And what her perspective was really interesting. And she just said, you know, I think everyone should watch what they think is appropriate for them to watch. And she shared, she's like, I stopped watching HGTV because she was like, it made me feel really jealous and it made me feel really discontent with the home that I was given. And I was like, good. I love HGTV. I love watching all those people live in houses that I can't live in. Like, I love it. But she was like, it made me feel bad. So what was not good for her was fine for me. So we're all going to be different.
Yeah. And it may be the area that you're struggling the most. Like there are seasons. Like, same thing. I was like, somehow, you know, when you get on Instagram, all of a sudden you're following like five accounts. You're like, where did I get this designer from Birmingham? I don't know. But I started following a lot of home accounts, same thing. And I just thought, this is not an area I'm gifted in. And I start beating myself up about it. Or same thing. Like, I really have joked about it, where I really don't like to cook. It's a struggle. It overwhelms me. And it's not, doesn't make me a good mom or doesn't, but you have to actually feed your people. So that's that. But there was times I would get on all these like recipes and I'm like, feeling terrible. And that was just me going like, okay, I need to shut that up. But then I'll go back to them or save them when I'm like, I need a little refresh. Like I need help. So I need to lean into people that are good at the things I'm not good at and know when to shut it off when it's like taking me down. So I just, you're not alone. I think you and I don't have it together at all. Like, and that's why I'm so thankful my podcast has mess in the thing. Cause I'm like, come over, walk around, talk to my children. You'll feel like we're in the same lane. Nobody's got it figured out. And if they do, they're lying. They're pretending if they think they got it together.
It's like our hair. We look like we have it put together, but we don't.
I really do. Actually, most podcasts, I do have my hair in a ponytail because typically the guest is the one we're putting on.
Yeah.
But today I was like, you know what? For Steph, I'm going to put a little two curls in the front for you and a little lipstick.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. You look great. Okay, we're going to end our time because you're just really fun. So we're going to end our time with some rapid fire questions. I didn't prep you for this, but we're going to do it.
Oh, I'm on it.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, so I'm just going to ask you, you just let us know, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, favorite place to vacation?
gosh, my parents' house. It's on a lake. It's peaceful. It's home. It's the best.
What is a slang word or phrase that your girls taught you this year?
I don't know if it's this year, but slay. Like, it's just slay all day. Slay, slay, slay is the word that is tossed around. But it's so funny to throw it back at them. Yeah.
I can't think of a new one.
That's new to me. My kids are a little younger than yours, though, so I feel like that counts.
And it can be used in many ways. But like, if someone said, hey, they'll text us, hey, I got a 94 in my Mandarin test, which, by the way, Larson's taking Mandarin, which is hilarious. And I'm like, and we'll just throw it back at them, like, slay. And so...
Do they ever say, that's not how you use that? Because that's
probably. Or it could be like, it could be Mandarin for a cuss word. I don't even know what I'm saying, which is the, but it's not.
Yeah. No. We're good. Think. We're good with that one. Okay. What is one item you could not live without?
My dog.
I knew you were going to say that.
I love her so much.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's unhealthy. Like, I have a monogrammed bag. I like... don't take many meetings in a day because I'm like, I got to get back to cuddling. I mean, it's really a problem. And the important thing to know is I did not like dogs or dog people until 2020. So like, this is a new obsession, a 3-year obsession that is getting worse by the day.
Oh, it's going to get even worse when your girls leave.
Listen, if she goes to heaven, I need a meal train. I need flowers. So y'all should be concerned if something happens to her. Like, y'all need to show up at the house like there's an emergency.
I will
be ready.
Remember be ready. That. I'm praying you have a very long time. I knew you were going to say that. I almost didn't ask because I was like, she's just going to say your dog.
That or coffee.
Okay. Yeah. Favorite way to relax at the end of the day?
Should you be the churchy answer or the real one? I'm a scroller.
The real one.
Yeah, I'm a scroller.
Oh, yeah.
A scroller of anything. Like, and I got, yeah. And so I also love a good show, but I'm learning in my old perimenopause age that I can't sleep. And so there's been many a nights that I'm up at 3 or 4 o'clock because I watched a show or I scrolled and it is not helping my sleep. We know that, but it's like some sort of odd addiction. I can't stop. So I need to read the 300 books that, you know, we get sent books and I have so many sitting here. I should just read. That would be
it's
the wise
so
thing.
Much easier to scroll and turn your brain off.
How, like, it's numbing, and I'm not proud of it, but I will say it's always amusing to me that I'll start with, like, you, and then all of a sudden I'm on your brother's Instagram, and then I'm on, like, a dog's Instagram. Like, how we get to, like, the most random stuff. I'm like, and you're not even paying attention. It's almost like you're driving, and you don't know where you're going. You're like, how did I end up on this professional wrestling WWE account? I have no idea.
No.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
It is. Say some prayers for my scrolling addiction.
Okay. You too. For mine. All of ours. Everyone. Yeah. Okay.
That's a thing.
What is your least favorite question that people ask you?
Least favorite question. It's actually a statement. People say, I'm sorry, you're so busy. Let me know kind of when you can get together. You're so busy is the impression that people in my life have of me. And it really... bugs me because I love people. I love being available. I can't do everything for everybody, but the impression that I'm too busy hits something at my core. I don't like it at all, especially like if it's my next door neighbor. I'm like, I don't want her over there sinning because of what she's seen on social media or what she thinks I does every day. When I'm like, I'm laying here with my dog. I can completely go. It's all a lie. I can totally go hang out with you. So, yeah, I don't know if that's just the first thing that came to mind.
No, that's a good one. Mine's like, what are your hobbies? Because I don't have any hobbies.
I went too deep. I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's from the doctor. It's like, what type of exercise do you do? I'm like, walking. I'm like, walking? I walk to the mailbox? I don't know.
Okay. Would you survive a zombie apocalypse?
100% no. No.
Me neither. I would just be like, take me, I'm done. I'm out.
No, I can't handle anything scary. I blame my sister. I watched Scream in high school, and I've never been the same. Like, I can't, any little, like, thought of anything around Halloween, I'm done. I don't want to be a part of it. And not for, like, this holy reason. It's like, that scares me. I'm 47, and I'm afraid of that haunted house. I'm out.
Me, I can't. Same. Totally. Okay. I'm going to ask you my least favorite question. Do you have any hobbies? I wasn't even going to ask you that, but now I am.
You know, that is a good question.
See, it's hard.
I mean, does TJ Maxx count? Really love a good TJ Maxx stroll. I'm the daughter of a TJ Maxxinista. I have trained and parented some future Maxxinistas, but I really do love a little find, you know, hunting through, because it's harder to find them these days. In the past, I think the store was much better, but now you can go through there and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I found the jewel in this entire rack of clothes. And it's like a thrill to it. I love it.
I think that counts as a hobby for sure.
Okay. The one that I want to be a hobby is ballroom dancing.
Oh, Trevor and I did that before we got married and we loved it, but we were just out of college. It was too expensive. We couldn't afford it.
Well, and I'm so out of shape that I'm like, I might die. I might crack my ankles and the heels. But also, Ron has no interest. So I'm like, do I just go up the street and start dancing with Russian men? Like, that's not right. I don't.
You could invite your neighbor who wants to hang out with you. And then that would be the answer to what type of exercise do you get.
Okay, stay tuned. You'll hold me accountable. 1 year from now, ask me if I've been ballroom dancing.
I will. I think it's a great idea.
Thanks.
Okay, Courtney, tell us where we can connect with you and where we can find all of the things.
ChristianParenting.org, folks. Go there. You can find me. I'm typically hanging around Instagram. I do have a site, CourtneyDeFeo.com, but it's just kind of like a online business card. There's not much going on over there, but you can poke around, get some resources. But just say hi. I know there's a lot of listeners on both of our podcasts, but I really do care about the individual person, so reach out. I'll try to get to, I will never ignore you on purpose. If I flake out, it is not you. It is me. Just know that.
I'll put all the places to find you in show notes too, so everyone can find him. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
I think you're awesome.
I think you're awesome too. So thank you. Thank you for joining us today. If you want to hear more from Courtney, tune in to Pardon the Mess every Monday and Thursday. I have links to her website and show notes too, so you can connect with her there. I hope you feel encouraged and refreshed after today's episode. May God bless you this week. May you feel showered in his love and may you rest in his presence, remembering that you are specifically called to be the parent of your kids. God loves you. He calls you. He adopts you into his family. He sanctifies you. You are loved by him today and every day. Thank you so much for listening to the Christian Parenting Podcast. If you haven't subscribed, you can do that now, and that way you won't miss an episode. You can connect with us on Instagram at ChristianParenting_org and see more resources at ChristianParenting.org. And if you're a mom raising daughters, we have the perfect course for you. Visit cpguides.org to learn more about our Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters online courses. And lastly, if you have enjoyed this podcast or other Christian parenting resources, please consider donating to this ministry. Visit ChristianParenting.org and click the donate button. Christian Parenting is 100% donor funded, and none of this would be possible without your help. We are so grateful for you. You're amazing. God bless you.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.